I was listening to some professor talk about the argument between realism and modernism since the Russian Revolution in the art world, in the painting world of Europe. And I thought of the issue became more complex when movies came in, because the reality that the movie photographed, some critics and artists in their theorizing said it was not real, and they wanted to get it back to some objective kind of painting, which led into social realism. So I'm thinking of the problems that movies brought in for what was real for artists to think that they were real. What would Ion say about reality? Because you often say, what is real? What would you add to that point of whether the movie is more reality or less reality?
All the movies did was they pixelated the Android meme. When you add pixels to the Android meme, it would seem more real than reality.
Well, I don't see the Android meme coming in until digital media. I'm talking about 80 years ago with what's called an analog.
Yet the world started working on what little Abner had to say regarding it. The world started having an emotional response to Little Mary Pickford in Passion's Playthings. When Buster Crabbe got on that screen, boy, it was real. And it was a shoot 'em up, and you could tell who was who because the good guys had on a white hat and the bad guys had on a black hat. And if they ever changed hat, the plot was lost eternally. That was developed all the way into the world to where now Pandora becomes more real than sitting in Los Angeles in traffic.
You're saying that the movie was more real, added reality to people's perception of what was real.
Perception of reality makes it just that. People live in their stories right now. People watch their stories, the soap operas. They live vicariously in their stories.
And is that reality?
It is for them. You'll get a bigger response if Jessica dies on the sands of the hourglass, these are the days of our lives, than you would if somebody blows up something on the Looky Box.
So Brecht said that if you showed a documentary of a factory and the workers in there, he says the actual power relations of what goes on in the society set up around the factory is not exposed in the raw footage of the movie, which you're saying is real, new real. You actually have to bring in odd editing techniques or other dramatic setups within the content of the movie to get to what reality is, which is the social relations caused by capitalism.
You need to answer the question, what is reality? Reality is the perception of your stasis, the stasis of your conditional response to your outer kingdom. You accept it or reject it. We'll give you an example. Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry, they had communicators, beam me up, Scotty. That wasn't reality. Well, it is now, because people watch that and they go, yeah, why can't you talk into your hand and it work? And then so it is. Like in the olden days on Saturday night when the Opry was on, they watched the radio. Well, they watched that box until a picture showed up. Now you got TV.
You are telling us that movies are real. They add to reality.
That's the essence of how this creation business actually works.
So people who say movies are a fantasy or not reality, do you have a criticism of that?
Not at all. Not at all. That's like those horseless carriages that somebody thought up, too. And yet, even the horseless carriages are gauged by how much horsepower they have.
So you're saying that the movies create a reality, but you can ignore that reality. So it's up to the individual.
Well, it also creates oil spills in the Gulf. It also creates wars and rumors of wars. It also it rises and crashes economies. It creates housing bubbles and blows them away. It makes debt become, instead of becoming debt, turns it into alleged debt.
But you're it. So you're saying movies created the British Petroleum spill.
Of course. And the sinking up, of all these human creators that can embrace it. And we want to give a shout out to all our conspiracy theorists too. because that gives great question, and that makes it great fun. You've created all kinds of civilizations with your conspiracy theories, so deliciously so.
So you're saying that movies are real and create new realities?
Well, based on what we're saying real is, yes.
And yet the individual cannot be affected by that?
Absolutely.
When you say that movies or TV creates the Gulf oil spill, you would have to say for those that believe it.
Well, not believe it. You don't. Lots of things are in your world. You can't believe something happened, and you even use that phraseology. I can't believe I'm in this place. I can't believe I'm this thin. I can't believe I'm this beautiful. I can't believe I'm this rich. And then somebody say, you know what? I can't believe nothing you tell me. After a little while, see, belief, you're confusing perceived reality with a belief system. And all a belief is just a thought you've been thinking for a long time.
You're saying that the news about the BP oil spill was created by people through television and movies and footage, and you're saying that's not done by a belief system. What is it done by?
The pixelation of what they're regarding reality is in the outer kingdom. There's been lots of oil spills, Bob, that have not made the news, that nobody knew about. It wasn't a problem, no big deal, no issue. They didn't even call Halliburton and want to know what went wrong with their concrete. They didn't want to know about all this poking and prying. There's all kinds of things happen. If you had an accurate demonstration of what actually takes place, it would awe you that you're still on this ball of wax.
Isn't a movie post-suggestive if people decide to succumb to the suggestion that creates future realities?
You don't succumb to the suggestion. What happens is you filter it through your outer kingdom, and of course if you get a response in your inner kingdom from your emotions, then you're very likely to be affected in your middle kingdom. You're now in your middle kingdom by that response and your position regarding it. You get on a test where you're going to push against rape or cancer or pick something, and you feel like you're helping out by succumbing to a study or something regarding information about it, you can embrace it. Next thing you know, you'll be a candidate for treatment regarding the same therapy that you was in the blind study to help folks who had this particular type of malady. You go work at a rape crisis center, and the next thing you know, you find yourself raped. And everybody's going, wait a minute, Ion, you saying if I go help somebody at the rape crisis center, I'm liable to get raped? We're saying you listen to that all day, every day, about everybody's horrible rape situation outside of your place of power, and that doubt that comes into your counseling ability and capacity, that's what runs into a very great position to line you up with a raping position.
In my definition, the Android meme is the digital replay of movies, and that's from the 70s, 80s on. The Android meme is not applicable to this earlier situation, which is the idea that literally brought in these philosophical questions about what's real, and then I'm asking, what does the movie do? And you bring in this, the movie does this and that. It's not belief.
Take it all back to the teletype. If you received a teletype, did you believe it or not?
Yeah, I think one believes it, but what made one believe it?
Well, exactly. It was represented as the truth. It was in the newspaper, so it must be true, Bob, and they took it without question.
Then you bring in the word outer kingdom. Is a movie a part of one's outer kingdom?
Originally, yes. You see the trailer and you decide if you want to go see it or not. Or everybody's talking about it, and you're like, well, crap, I got to go see this piece of crap movie because everybody's talking about it. And so you do. And you may or may not enjoy it, but that helps you to decide. That's what the box office is banking on. You deciding that you want to go lay down your $12 and $50 for popcorn and soda pop.
The movie comes in back in the 20s and 30s. Many people said this is not real, and they forbade their kids to go to movies. Were they still affected by movies because their parents told them not to look at movies?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because movies were changing other people and you had to deal with people who were changed by movies?
What in the world would change Marvel Comics from quit printing comic books and go into becoming Marvel Comics with making the cartoons on Saturday morning TV?
So when you say, what is reality, what are movies in that question?
Part of the pixelated outer kingdom that you engage or not.
So a photograph, you know, 150 years ago, was a pixelated medium, the photograph?
It is. Original were done in silver oxide. They had to have the silver oxide because it had value. Silver had value. Without the silver oxide and some Dectol, you couldn't even capture an image on a plate. So because you had to attach value, otherwise they couldn't get any money for photographs. And if they weren't making any money for photographs, who would do it for fun?
If they didn't charge for movies, would people still want to experience them?
Nope.
So if it doesn't cost anything, people...
All the cost does is allows the individual human creator to own it, in their middle kingdom. And whether a movie is a success or a failure has nothing to do with the content, has nothing to do with how much genitalia, has nothing to do with how much blood and guts. Those, it makes no difference to how many vampires and Draculas and zombies you got. It's how it's embraced. Because if it's embraced in their middle kingdom, then you have Trekkies and you have the whole genres that are that. Whole genres that go see a movie over and over and over again because every time they go see it, they feel like they have a bigger portion or part of it, of them.
So you're saying that money is more real than movies and TV?
No, we're saying the exchange of anything allows the human creator to feel that they have a participation. Well, we'll use this as an example. You have lots and lots and lots of folks that engage in private engagements with us. They say their lives are changed. They give descriptions. They see how everything is changing. They understand and get a firsthand notion of how this activation with their power is a euphoric, blissful place. Then you also have folks who don't, and they just engage in the radio, and they go, well, that's just static. I don't get it. I can't get it. I can't get there from now. And then even maybe give a critique of how you could make it better so they could enjoy it. Well, once you engage it yourself personally, it becomes your own. And once it becomes your own, then all of a sudden it becomes a radical part of your middle kingdom, not just something blowing in your outer kingdom.
So the exchange is the way you bring in your middle kingdom.
Well, it's how you validate your middle kingdom, because that's what they always said. They say time is money and money is time. Oh, there isn't any time, so there isn't any money. But that exchange still validates your position of you owning, like the series that you work on. Those that engage it find it euphorically wonderful. Those that pirate it don't. They don't get it. Imagine that.
When we say, what is reality, I think we think, okay, what's basically influencing me? James says, you know, auto-suggestion or just suggestion. You're saying that the exchange principle, or I don't know if it's a belief, but it's the feeling place of exchange, is the real factor in making people's reality, if you define reality as what goes in their middle kingdom.
Making their reality real. Because you hear people talk about an alternate reality. So there is there's a multiplicity of realities. You're talking about what's real. That's what can I eat, drink, sleep with, have orgasms with, fight with, make up with, play with, buy from, sell from, engage from. And that connection, which some people call business, but that connection is what allows the individual human creator to get the benefit or the good. Somebody raising corn likes to raise corn, but if they have to sell that corn in order to raise corn, then you may not have a good crop. All right? Or you may get more for your crop when there's less corn. See, supply demand. Well, if you're all about that, then all of a sudden it becomes if that's the case, then you better spend all your energy in making the supply of corn or the wanting desire for corn great. That'll have more effect on your crops than how much fertilizer you put in the field.
Do you get a relevance of that last statement about corn?
Yeah, the desire for it is what drives it rather than what you think should be happening. It's all the desire. And my point about all this, I think of how people modify their health care based on what they hear on television. If a doctor says something on television, they believe it. That's always astounded me, that their reality is based on something that's really just a big advertisement.
Science making the pain as the important thing.
It's the point of connection. You pay for the bottle of pills, and they're supposed to do you well. Well, if you believe that, then they do. And if they don't, then they kill you and you file a lawsuit. So either way, you get paid.
A lot of people see the doctors on television and, well, they're doctors, so they're authorities, they have a lot of education, so therefore they must be right. That's less emphasis than the financial aspect?
How else do you think they created erectile dysfunction if they didn't have a whole lot of little blue pills to get shit of?
What makes people believe what they hear on television?
Oh, repetition, repetition, repetition.
No, no, you're saying reality is based on whether you have a sense of paying for it or not. That's the factor.
Well, who watches TV that they don't pay for?
So how does that relate to hypnosis? You can go to see a performance of hypnosis. You pay for that. Those that get hypnotized probably paid for it. They will allow themselves to be hypnotized because they paid for it.
Hip. It's a hip thing to do. Know that they can't do it themselves. And cis makes it an itis.
So you can't be hypnotized unless you pay for the relationship?
Nope, you can't be hypnotized unless you engage the process of having your power subjugated over by having another one take power over you. You can't be hypnotized unless you would like to have the experience of having another human creator have power over you.
How does hypnosis differ from self-hypnosis?
Well, self-hypnosis means that you convince yourself that you're hip with the not having the idea of having the itis. Self-hypnosis is the very idea that we say is the essence of creation, but not from a not hip thing.
What's hip mean?
Well, hip, when you're hip with something, you're jiggy with it.
Well, that's part of the outer kingdom.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So self-hypnosis means you've seen it in the outer kingdom. Where would you come up with the notion and idea that you could hypnotize yourself if you didn't get it from your outer kingdom? Do you just wake up and go, I think I'll put myself in an altered state of reality, and then I'll convince myself that every time I ring this bell, I'll bark like a dog. Ooh, that sounds like fun. Where can I find out about it? Let's go to that Lucky Box. Oh, come get on the Lucky Box. Look here. This man's barking like a dog and chasing cars and fighting. Man bites dog story. They saw it on the news from the case. And then they turn around and they look and they find out that the man self-hypnosed himself into a state where he realized that it was in the fastest path of his joy to bite the dog. Well, he wouldn't bite the dog because he didn't know where the dog's been, but he could take it from himself and hip himself into a no-itis where all kinds of anomalies show up that way.
Ashley in Nevada, how are you? Welcome on board.
It's funny that I happen to call right as you guys are talking again about hypnosis because I'm a hypnosis trainer.
Well,
so,
you can give us lots of pretty words that we can play with.
Well, no, it's funny because it all just comes down to choosing personal power. And then the hypnosis is just a great little wordy word, just like you say, that it's just another way of getting rid of the idea that you're less than. And if you have to use the hypnosis to do it, then do it. But it all comes down to getting that you are great. And anything that's in your way from knowing that you're great, you got to get rid of that. And if you use hypnosis, then that's fine.
Maybe even a better, simpler way of saying it, you marvelous creator. Now, you're not hypnotizing us, are you, darling?
Only with my good charm, yep.
Oh, good charm has a hypnosis factor. Aha! It'll make them teenage boys comb their hair when mamas and daddies can't make them do it. And they'll brush them teeth and slick that hair back and put a belt on and clean up. It's hypnotic. Oh, it's just you get their attention, you see. So if you use it that way, absolutely. Ashley's saying that if hypnosis brings you into your place of power, it's delicious. If it doesn't, it'll just be the next drug, the next phase, the next thing that may give you temporal pleasure, but it won't last.
If it begins from a less than position, it's not going to work for you.
Well, but the less than position is where you are, Bob. You chose to come away from your power the first place, so you certainly should have the ability to choose to come back into your place of power. So if that's the case, then you're damned and the church is right, and get ready because hell is hot and you're on your way. Anything that you use If it's brown party liquor, fine. It's not a problem with us. Please yourself. If it brings you into a place of your power, then embrace it. And once you get into your place of power and your good feeling place, that's more addictive than any drug you can come up with. And then that bliss place that you're trying to achieve will take over, and then you will accept nothing less than happy.
That's happy by default.
We don't care how you, we don't give a flip how you get bliss. When you get bliss, you won't care if somebody crams it down your throat hole, Bob.
Then your criticism of other therapies and religions, because they operate from a less than position, you don't hold to that.
What they offer very clearly is not the complete package. They get you to the edge, and then they have to push you.
Well, is what Ashley talking about offering the complete package, taking you at your words?
Yeah, it can.
How can it?
It brings someone into the place that they have power.
What do they have to do to meet the condition of whatever that phrase was I just said?
Ashley, will you hypnotize Bob so he can communicate? Let Ashley tell you. We'll clean it up.
Well, what I get is that it's never a black and white issue, because we're dealing with human experience and creation. And so if it is in your belief system, Bob, that there is something that can allow you to get your power.
My belief system, I have to pay for it. Like, you don't use a word unless you include the exchange principle.
Okay.
You're realizing, Ashley, he's saying you got to pay for something. And what about societies that didn't have money before? Where was the exchange there? What was the giving?
Chicken, giving them a bath, taking care of their family members, sharing your milk.
So you say you have your own reality. Now you're saying it's very important that there's an exchange between humans, and it's common to all societies. The exchange determines what people share or agree on.
Well, it didn't used to be that way, but you've made it be the deal breaker.
If it happened in the barter period, it always did. Why do you say it didn't used to be that way?
Well, because it changed, it shifted.
Nothing's real unless there's an exchange factor, though I am complicated by saying, well, that's not the case originally, it is now. You're getting the contradictions? Are you listening to it?
No, absolutely, and I think that there's always an exchange. There could be exchange of energy, there can be exchange of communication.
Not can be, there always is, and you don't have to call it energy, there's an exchange. Zion's saying there's something in people that requires an exchange or the perceived exchange before it's some kind of real.
I've had experiences where you give freely, like I've done coaching freely, and then they've decided to give me something in return, or someone's given me something freely, and I decided to give them something in return. But it wasn't, you have to give me this. So I think there are people out there that give freely and receive freely.
Now, Ion says, does that create a reality?
Exactly right. Absolutely does.
Well, you start off saying if you didn't give an exchange.
Well, you're giving, Bob. You're giving.
Freely. Okay, so now you're saying money is not a determining factor in establishing reality.
Money, it's about exchange.
Okay. You're saying there has to be an exchange. Where's the exchange in the freely aspect?
Energy, the feeling place you get from doing a delicious, delightful thing, the thing you get in return from taking your bride flowers.
Now you've made it nebulous again. We got on this tack 10 minutes ago because you said movies don't influence you unless you pay for them.
Right.
Okay, now we're at some broader, more nebulous point of if I feel a certain way about it, it's okay. The movies are affecting my reality.
Well, how can they make a movie for $10,000 and it sell a bunch of movies and somebody spend $50 million on a movie and it's a flop? Is it the actors?
No, it's because they didn't pay.
Okay. Hey, exactly. That's how you judge a movie.
Ashley, what are you learning from what Ian's been saying the last however long you've been listening?
Listening has allowed me to confirm that I'm not less than, that there's so many more ways of looking at life, so many more ways of looking at any situation, that I don't need to be pigeonholed. If I want to be successful, I can be successful. It's as simple as that. And so anytime I'm having a problem, I kind of look back at all the things I've learned from Ion and from James and Carolyn and Bob. Back when my husband and I had our reading, I think it was early April, that changed our lives. Our lives have never been the same. We, because of Ion, he led us in a direction that had us start a business, laughingbat.com, and we've become so successful I tell everyone the best business consulting is getting a reading from Ion. And so, you know,
and
like
that exchange allows it to be in your middle kingdom, into your now. You see?
Sure. But it
now
starts with the upper kingdom.
You
you're right.
Something you know. And
yeah.
That's the exchange. It makes no difference. It makes no difference what the exchange is. But an exchange is not a deal breaker, Bob, but exchange is a very significant medium when you're talking about real, R-E-A-L, and real, R-E-E-L, as real a man. That's what you do to fish. Well, that's what those folks that go from real to real, they're just good fishermen. And what they're forfeiting, they're drowning the worm to convince the fish that on their hook is the best place to be. And then if they hook them, they reel them in. Well, from your space that you're discussing here, Bob, if you start with a baitless hook, you're not going to be as attractive to those wonderful fish. But if you freely give of the worm, all right, here you go. And this even works in nature. You can play with it where you can have a baby, a blackbird has a bunch of eggs and they raise the little babies and they got them in the nest. And then the bird, mama bird, flies off and you start adding value of what's real and how that applies. You can come into the place of positioning from your kingdom space. You can have a cat goes and hears those birds crying, goes up and the cat eats the bird, the little baby bird. Right out of the nest. And you go, bad kitty, bad kitty. And the cat turns around and looks at you and says, good birdie, good birdie. See, it's all relative. It's all relative. And that exchange is how you validate the process of your real-to-real and your nebulous world of wordy words.
So back to Ashley, what are you getting from this conversation about the issue about what reality is?
And hypnosis.
What I get is I have a totally different view of hypnosis than most of the world, because most of the world, like Ian said, most therapies are about you being less than, and you need that therapy because you're less than. And my belief system is anyone I come in contact with, I see them as great. I don't see them for that less than. All I want to do, just like Ion, just like you guys want, all I want to do is have them get how great they are, to get them to step into their greatness. And so anytime I work with people, you know, if I'm selling them a bat house or if I'm doing coaching with them, I'm just seeing them as great people. And I think that when you come from that standpoint, doing coaching or doing therapy or being on the radio, if you're seeing your listeners as themselves really, truly being just the great people that they are, then that comes across, and then they'll begin to get that about themselves. It's just about getting rid of any belief system that takes away from your greatness.
If it's all relative, how could you determine whether you're great or not?
It's relative, Bob, based on your position of where you are in the stream, whether you allow yourself to get it or not. And if you can just be happy and placate yourself with happy, you don't care whether it's real or not.
How does one placate themselves to be happy?
Well, you start embracing your feeling places, and when you engage this feels bad.
The embracing your feeling places. That means when you feel bad, embrace that.
Yes. And say, feeling place that's making me feel bad. What is it I'm thinking about you that's making me feel bad?
And you wouldn't ask that question. You would embrace it before any question.
Right.
Are you referring to gratitude, Ion? I'm just using a different word, but gratitude in whatever position you're in?
Yes. Appreciation and gratitude are key. But then that's a giving thing.
I also like to relax and allow. I know that's kind of old school. You've been talking about that for a while.
That's way 2009.
Yes.
Right. That's the old school. We don't think it old school. That's
old school.
This
Sweet
RNA
already.
That we just found out affects our DNA, that's old school.
Yes. Do you know that relax and allow has RNA in it? The RNA is a big factor in all kinds of situations that are happening to us now.
Well, it's only the information process that changes your very DNA of your cellular structure of your whole genome system, so I guess it may have something to do with it, yeah.
Ashley, are you taking people, when they come to see you as clients, to position them to get them back into their space of power rather than to quit smoking or whatever it is? You start there first and then the other things come in, or?
If smoking for them is taking away from their personal power, then that's what we address. If they are totally empowered by smoking, then that's not their problem. For me, it's whatever they come with, what they feel is taking away from their personal power, and what they feel in their life is the cause of their less than-ness or what they, and all it is just getting them to realize that they're great, just getting them back into their personal power, and then nothing else matters. Not just coaching, it's every interaction I have on the street, in a restaurant, going into a shop, having one of my customers call me or email me, it's every interaction I look for their greatness. My position in life is that that's who they are, and I see them, and I know it's kind of cliche, but I see them as that beautiful energy of light, that being of love, and anything that they, that in their belief system is stopping them from seeing themselves as that, then I help them get that out of their belief system.
You position yourself in an act of gratitude the moment they're in your presence.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
It's working out pretty good for Duff, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It, I mean, well, you know, you talk about RNA, but my husband, Duffy, and I were DNA.
And it is working very well. Quantum physics you learned from your cat.
Yeah.
Very good.
Beth in Oregon says, Ashley has tapped into the love force field. Isn't it amazing to just accept everyone for who they are?
Amazing. Is it real, Ashley? Is it your reality to be a lover who loves? Is that your reality? Can you tell Bob if that's real for you or not and how so?
Yeah.
If without engaging in degrees of separation?
And when I'm not in that mode, like when I'm not in the relax and allow and in that love mode, something feels off in my life, and so I catch myself and I get back into it. But it's just a matter of me catching myself and going, wait a second, I'm not coming from love. And it's like, the thing is, some people go, oh, a reading, getting a psychic reading or getting a talking to Ion, that's so out there. It's not. I asked you for business advice. I asked you for real, honest to God, help me out with real things in my life, and I see real results, physical results. So for me,
there you go.
Tapping into the love force field, getting people at their greatness, and coming 100% from gratitude, that shows up as physical results. So you got to start with your attitude and come from love. That's my opinion.
And if you get confused, Bob, every shampoo maker in the country is trying to help you out. If you get yourself in a lather, go find your shampoo bottle and read it. They'll say, go ahead, get a good lather going on, and then rinse and repeat.
I get most of the emails that come to Ion, and the only emails I remember from Ashley over the last 5-6 months is every few weeks, my God, we sold another 100 bat houses.
They're batty. They're buying houses. They're so batty. They're buying bat houses because they're batty. It's amazing.
Yeah.
The mosquito population is declining. Now somebody, Ashley, now we're going to have to create more mosquitoes because you have so many bats out there that the mosquito lovers are going to be upset because there's not enough mosquitoes to eat of them as they freely give of themselves to the mosquito. That is an exchange, by the way, Bob. You have the evidence of that exchange. So now we're going to have to pump up the mosquito population to keep all them bats from starving to death. Isn't that cool?
I was told by one of our last customers that I just was writing an email to. He said that up in Flagstaff, they created a new sewer system, a new cleaning system, and because of that, it attracted a whole new colony of mosquitoes. So he thinks I should call every single sewer system in North America and sell them my bat houses because they all have mosquitoes around them.
Hey, you're happy with the expansion, Ashley.
Absolutely, and keep it coming. We want to take it to the next level. We want to have a whole shop and have 100 employees all building bat houses with us and give more jobs back to the economy.
That's just batty, isn't it, Ed?
It is. It's very batty. And our whole logo, our whole theme is laughing bat because we look at our logo, we just start laughing because, you know, it's this cute bat that's laughing. And, you know, so it's all about having fun. It don't get so serious about business. It's all about having fun. And if you're too serious about your business, then you need to step back and relax and allow a little bit.
Just this whole topic, I haven't gotten out of the middle position of we didn't make anywhere. We kind of had a lot of exchange going on, but I'm trying to find out.
At the end of the day, Ashley's like, well, good for you, Bob. How's that working out for you?
Well, I wouldn't know. It's all relative. I wouldn't know how it's working out for me.
And that's the point. My reality is different from another person's reality. It's where I am in relation to whatever else is going on around me. What I decide is real and what I decide to embrace and take into my middle kingdom. When we were talking about hypnosis earlier, that was going to be one of my questions to Ion about self-hypnosis, that most of the time people are walking around in a trance-like state.
Of their own choosing?
Of their own choosing. So, yeah, I like that, actually.
Well, the people that are just walking around like zombies, they're under their own trance of they're not good enough. They're under their own trance of, oh, my job sucks and I hate this and I just want to get out. And, you know, they've created their own reality that isn't bringing them to their personal power. No one's a victim. Just like Ion says, absolutely love it, say it 10 times a day. There are no victims. There are no villains. It's all a point of choice. So if you choose to be in a trance-like state that isn't bringing you to your personal power, that's your choice. But if you're choosing to be in a trance-like state that allows you to see how great you are, then that's your choice too.
You're trancing yourself with the ionic wisdom that there are no victims. You go around keeping yourself in that trance.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Is Ion there?
Yes, we were just trying to find a way to start piping in the portal ending credits with Still Alive.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success.
Now, the thing is, you're critiquing other people being in a trance. Ion seems to say it's all relative, so it doesn't matter that someone looks like they're in a trance from your perspective. They might think that you're in a trance.
Well, but there's a difference between being all relative and not mattering. And
well,
in my world, things matter.
I'll be happy that people are being trans and showing up, because I go to a gas station and that guy's trans himself into always being there to provide gas for my car. Aren't we happy that there are all these people willingly trans themselves to do the same activity every day?
Well, sure. I mean, I'm grateful that I get to have that experience. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Why does it have to be a trance? What if it was the fastest path to their joy, Bob?
Isn't someone's fastest path to their joy a form of trance? It's like hypnosis. Hypnosis is focused attention on a certain thing. And if somebody's fastest path to their joy, which is or what Ashley is in a state of conducting at all times and all places with gratitude and everything else, that is a form of trance, is it not? Or is it something different?
We don't care what you call it. We don't care what you call it. And because, see...
Well, I thought words created... Wait a minute. Words create reality. So it's very important what we call it.
No, because remember how we played on your series about parking and what that means? It's all relative and it changes. The point of creation, the words, are what remind you of what it is that you are trying to create or you'd like to create. That's the vehicle that you use. But if you're trying to figure out what the word is, to figure out whether to usher the word into your middle kingdom or not, don't worry, it'll change.
I'm just amazed that we have shared meanings for the 5 minutes we're talking here, like anybody pretends they know what the other means. That's what I'm amazed at.
And then Bob keeps buying new phones that are louder and louder and louder and louder. So the ones that don't want to hear Bob in their reality, they're creating a reality where now Bob overlays everything on the show. And then they can't hear anything else. And they're like, I didn't come to listen to Bob, but you're going to listen to Bob. You can edit him if you want to, but he's just going to get louder and louder and louder. Till in the end, with the prophet song, can you hear me now? Can you hear me? I know, I know, I know, I know. That's the Queen, the prophet song. And you're going to play with it a little bit, you're going to get so tired of hearing Bob louder and louder and louder, you're just going to get it, I guess.
That's the perfect metaphor. What you resist persists. So the people who don't want to hear Bob, they're just going to keep hearing him louder and louder until they just let it go. Thank you so much. And again, guys, I love every one of you, and I'm so grateful that I get to have you guys in my life. So thank you very much.
Right on.
Well, we
thank
you,
so much for
you as well, and thank you for your support.
Absolutely.